Hi, Nadia Raymond here from StoryCorps. So, do you need a movie recommendation? Are you still digesting that last episode of Game of Thrones? If so, NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour is the podcast for you. It's a good conversation about the very best things to watch, read, and listen to. Get it at npr.org/podcasts.
This is the StoryCorps podcast. I'm Michael Garofalo, one of the producers here at StoryCorps. And with Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, we went back into our archive and picked out some of our favorite stories about moms. We'll hear from a single mom and her daughter.
I want you to know that even though our situation is unique, I'm happy that I'm in it.
Two women who were sent to a home for unwed mothers back in the 1960s.
We were given fictitious names.
And yours was?
Melody.
And mine was Stella.
And we'll hear how one mom reacted when her son came out.
I said, this is not telephone discussion. I think you best come speak with Dad and I.
These stories and a special surprise at the end on this Mother's Day episode of the StoryCorps podcast. First up, Bonnie Brown. Bonnie is intellectually disabled. She has low IQ. And for more than 20 years, she's worked at the same Wendy's. She's also a single mom who's raising a teenage daughter named Myra.
When you found out you were pregnant with me, like, what did you think?
I was very happy and I was also scared.
Why were you scared?
Because I had never been pregnant before. I never had really an idea of how to care for a baby.
Did you ever feel like I was too much to handle, like, ever?
No. I think because I'm different, it might seem hard for me. But I was going to give it all I got, no matter what.
When I was a kid, I didn't realize that you were different, and you actually had to tell me because I wasn't figuring it out.
I said, Myra, I know I'm not like your friend's mothers, but I'm doing the best I can. And you said, it's okay, Mommy, and that made me feel so good. Has my disability affected your life?
I guess, like, when I was little, you had to go in for my parent-teacher conference, and like, as a disclosure, I was like, my mom's disabled, but the day after the interview, my teacher said that you seemed really intelligent, and that made me feel embarrassed.
Why?
Because I kind of felt bad that I had said that, and then you'd gone and you'd been fine.
No offense taken, you were just giving her a heads up, right?
Yeah. What's the hardest thing that you've overcome?
Being hurt from people. Not physical, but just like
emotionally?
Yeah.
There were times when we would go out, and people would just blatantly stare, and I would say something. I guess I'm kind of protective.
I'm really thankful because you understand me, and you love me, and you accept me, and thank you for that.
I don't know, you kind of make it seem like I tolerate you. I love you. You're a good parent, and just because you're disabled doesn't mean that you do anything less for me. You want me to succeed.
Yes, I do. I want you to make something of yourself.
I want you to know that even though our situation is unique, I'm happy that I'm in it because I'm happy that I'm with you.
Thank you, Myra. And I feel the same way. I will never change it for anything in this world.
That's Bonnie Brown with her daughter Myra in Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. When they recorded this interview, Myra was taking gifted and talented classes at her high school, and she hopes to go to Cambridge University when she graduates. For this next story, we have to go back to 1968, when Susan Mello Souza and Mary Moran Murphy were teenagers, and both were pregnant. Their families wanted to keep it a secret, and this wasn't unusual at the time. So the girls were sent to a place called St. Mary's Home for Unwed Mothers in Dorchester, Massachusetts. They lived there while they were pregnant, till they gave birth, and then their children were placed for adoption. Susan and Mary were roommates at the home, and here they remember when they first met.
We were given fictitious names.
And yours was?
Melody.
And mine was Stella.
We were told, whoever we're going to room you with, you're not supposed to tell them your real name. But we broke that rule.
We did. I think the first thing we said to each other was, what's your real name?
Did you remember thinking of yourself as being a mother?
I didn't until I felt the baby move, especially at night.
Right.
That was the hardest time for me. During the day, we could occupy ourselves, and I didn't think about it so much, but I remember crying most every night.
They didn't tell us what to expect for childbirth. Anytime somebody went into labor, there was a tunnel between the home and the hospital. And that's how they chauffeured us back and forth.
I remember being wheeled into the delivery room. They lay you on the bed and they strap your hands down. Then I remember the doctor coming in and he asked me if I was going to see my baby. And I said, yes, I was. I would rock her and sing to her. Oh, my God. I was so sad.
Oh, yeah. Once I gave birth, I remember counting her fingers and her toes. And the day I left the hospital, my mother walked me down and we looked in the nursery. And I didn't want to walk out and leave her, but there was nothing I could do. And it was never discussed again. Did your mother sit and talk to you? My mother never did.
The rule of thumb was it never happened.
For years, I never told boyfriends or doctors. How do I answer the question, how many children have you had? Mm-hmm. I lied for the longest time. Mm-hmm.
And here we are, 45 years later.
Mm-hmm. And it's so nice that we don't have to
lie
anymore.
Don't have to lie anymore.
We're lucky to have each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's something we'll never lose.
That's Mary Moran Murphy and her friend, Susan Mello Souza, remembering their time at St. Mary's Home for Unwed Mothers in 1968. Both Mary and Susan have since reunited with their daughters. In this next story, we're going to hear from 91-year-old Rita Fisher and her son Jay. They spoke at a StoryCorps booth in New York City, and they remembered a conversation that they had had back in the 1980s when Jay first told Rita that he was gay. Now, you should know that this clip features senior citizens dropping F-bombs, so you've been warned.
When you called and came out, it was quite a shock. I had no inkling, none whatsoever. You tell me you're gay, and I said, listen, give me a half an hour to come to my cell, and I'll call you back. And so I did call back. And I said, this is not telephone discussion. I think you best come speak with Dad and I. But don't worry, we're going to love you the same way.
When you talked about not knowing about me being gay, I mean, I consider you a lot of things, but dumb isn't one of them. And I had left so many clues.
I don't know what clues you're talking about.
I had somebody over 3 times a week for 5 years.
In my house?
In your house. I had a fuck buddy.
That's what you call them, fuck buddies?
Well, I can call them a lot of things, but...
I don't know what you call them, but I didn't know, and that's all. I would not be so dumb now. I have what they call gaydar.
God bless.
I can pick them up in a minute. And the very high point for me was when you, Jay, and Michael had your commitment ceremony.
Yes.
Dad and I were celebrating our 50th wedding anniversary, and you suggested that we make it a joint celebration. And when Dad and I walked you down that aisle, I was so overwhelmed that I thought I was going to drop dead from a heart attack. It was one of my bursting moments of pride.
I consider you a blessing to both me and Michael, and that's as best as I can put it.
I think straight parents should be involved with their gay children. I told everybody and anybody who would listen to me that I had a gay son and that I was very proud of my gay son.
That's Rita Fisher with her son Jay in New York City. Rita has walked in New York City's AIDS Walk since 1985. She's raised more than $800,000 in that time, and she says she's going to keep going till she hits a million. We're just a couple days away from Mother's Day, and sitting with me here now is the founder of StoryCorps, Dave Isay. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mike.
So, Dave, you're here to tell us a little bit about what's going on with the StoryCorps app.
You know, we released this app just a few weeks ago that allows you to record StoryCorps anytime, any place on your mobile device. It's kind of a digital facilitator. It walks you through the process of StoryCorps, and then with one tap, you upload your interviews to the Library of Congress. And almost 4,000 interviews have come in. And remember, in StoryCorps, in a typical year, we'll record 5,000 to 6,000 interviews. So
this is in like 2 months?
Less. Less than 2 months. And I think now we're going to share just the first story we've ever shared off the app. It's a woman named Elizabeth Bell who sat with a cell phone and interviewed her mom, Sarah Bell, in Texas outside of Dallas. Her mom has dementia and is losing the ability to express herself. And Elizabeth wanted to use the app to capture her mom's voice. So for Mother's Day, this is the first story we're presenting from the StoryCorps app.
I wanted to see if you could tell me what dementia means to you.
It means that I can't remember things. And I especially can't remember names.
What does that feel like when you can't remember stuff?
Makes me feel like I'm not as smart as I used to be.
When did you feel like it kind of started?
Several months ago.
Several months ago? Not years ago?
No.
Okay, let me ask you this. What do you fear about the future? Do you know what that means?
Mm-mm.
What are you scared of that's going to happen in like 5 years?
Well, I always just worry about somebody dying.
What do you mean?
It just worries me about me and other people getting old, that it just means you're... So, are you recording this?
Yeah.
Mm.
Anything else you want to say?
I'm proud of you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That means a lot. Even though I don't have a husband or a child.
I don't understand that. Why? You don't.
Well, it just hasn't happened, I guess.
Well, you said you had entered that thing on the internet again or something, but so haven't you heard from guys to go out with?
Yeah, but it didn't work out.
I mean, I think you're very attractive. I'm surprised that, you know, the boys don't just want to hug you.
Oh, you're funny, Mom. You still are really funny. So, one of the reasons why I want to record all this is because I'm, like, so afraid that, like, you could lose talking altogether. So I just want to record your voice so I can listen to it over and over because I love you so much.
Mm. Oh, well, listen to this. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Why are you tapping your head?
Spanking it.
You're spanking your head. Yeah. Why?
Well, because it's not
following directions.
Yeah, it's not doing well.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
That was Elizabeth Bell in a conversation with her mom, Sarah, who's 65 years old. You know, the experience of listening to these stories, it's different than the kind of the traditional StoryCorps stories that happen in a booth. It's kind of a feeling of eavesdropping. It's very intimate. You hear interviews that take place in, like, people's beds. And, I mean, it's just kind of a remarkable thing to hear. You know, when I started StoryCorps, I had this idea that, because I had made radio documentaries before then, that it, like, without me being present, that maybe, like, people wouldn't be able to have these intense, beautiful interviews. And I was completely wrong. Obviously, it had nothing to do with me. And then with this app, the fidelity with which people are kind of getting the spirit of StoryCorps is remarkable. I love the image in there of the mom, you know, they're sitting there and the mom starts, like, tapping her head and you know, because she feels like her head's not working anymore. And I don't know, it's been a really profound and amazing bunch of weeks, and I'm excited to hear what's going to come in the future.
Well, hopefully we'll be hearing more.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we're asking people to do, and we're going to do a series of these over the coming year, but our first kind of post-launch event is Mother's Day. And we're asking people to consider on Sunday pulling out the app and interviewing your mom or remembering your mom, if your mom's not around anymore, as a very inexpensive, free, actually, and incredibly meaningful gift to give on Mother's Day. So we're kind of doing a small test run, and we'd love to have podcast listeners record a story this Mother's Day and spread the word to their friends and neighbors and loved ones and ask them to do the same.
Absolutely. And then if we're successful, we'll do it again on Father's Day and Veterans Day. And
what we're thinking now is we're going to do one big push around Thanksgiving. And what we're going to do over Thanksgiving weekend, and we haven't ever talked about this before, so this is like a preview to podcast listeners.
It is.
What we think we're going to do on Thanksgiving weekend is we're going to see if we can get teachers across the country, high school teachers, social studies teachers who are teaching U.S. history, to ask their students to record a grandparent or another elder that weekend so that theoretically a huge number of Americans, maybe a whole generation of Americans, could be recorded over a single weekend.
Well, it's very cool. Thanks so much for coming on and sharing this first story.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, that's it for this episode of the StoryCorps podcast. Until next time, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Nadia Raymond here again, reminding you to check out NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour to get your fix of what to read, watch, and listen to. Get it at npr.org/podcasts.